This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Future Farm Botanicals Liquid Turmeric Liposome Complex, a natural solution to chronic pain. Future Farm's liquid turmeric with liposomes and nanotechnology delivers maximum absorption for effective pain relief. Sourced and manufactured in the United States, this product contains 1,600 milligrams of curcumin and powerful antioxidant properties. This plant-based curcumin is used to possibly reduce inflammation, block proteins that trigger swelling, and intercept inflammatory pathways, significantly decreasing inflammatory responses. For more information and to order, call 888-841-7216, 888-841-7216, or go to myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. That's future, P-H-A-R-M, myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. Don't live with pain when there's an all-natural, science-based remedy that works without adverse side effects. Get free shipping on all of your orders at myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and today we're going to talk about a fascinating new book and a very, very important subject because, well, we cover supplements, so we cover exercise, all manners of lifestyle. We've done acupuncture. We've touched upon virtually every topic in the armamentarium of integrative medicine. But here's a very, very important and neglected aspect of health. We're going to talk today about a book entitled Quench. And the book is about hydration. The subtitle, Beat Fatigue, Drop Weight, and Heal Your Body Through the New Science of Optimum Hydration. My guest is the co-author, Dr. Dana Cohen. She's one of my good colleagues here in New York. We've actually worked together many years ago. And she is now medical director of a place called Complete Wellness, which is an integrated medical wellness facility right here in the heart of Manhattan. She's also on the scientific advisory board of the Organic and Natural Health Association. She is the director of medical education for a very, very fine integrated medical organization, which is ACAM, the American College for Advancement in Medicine. And she is a veteran practitioner of integrative medicine, having also completed a 3-year internal medicine residency. So eminently qualified to weigh in on the subject of hydration. Congratulations on the book, Dana. It's a pleasure having you on Intelligent Medicine once again.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you.
Well, the book is Quench, and the proposition is that we're not adequately hydrated. Now, we both live in Manhattan. And we both see like these skinny girls walking around, young women, usually with those little dogs. They're skinny girls with little dogs, and they always have like little bottles of water, and they're like slugging the water down, like cowboys in a western used to slug down whiskey, you know, and so. Surely there's more to this book because this book, you know, it's a beautiful hardbound book and it's voluminous and it's got all kinds of medical references. There's surely more to this than, you know, drink 8 glasses of water a day because, you know, that'd be like writing that on the blackboard 8,000 times.
Exactly. Well, there's the book does have some very sort of, I think, mind-blowing new ideas about hydration. And drinking ever more water is probably not the answer. As a clinician, I don't know about you, but I ask every patient that walks in, do you think you drink enough water? 90% of them say no.
And you know, I gotta just chime in here. I omit asking that. I ask so many questions, you know, I ask, you know, sexual history and get into all smoking and, you know, blah, blah, blah. But I don't ask that key question.
Yeah. And I have to say, even my healthy ones, even my athletes that come in, I ask, do you think you drink enough water? And inherently, most of them say no. But that's even personal. I really think that because of the environments that we're living in, meaning, you know, air conditioning and heat and cell phones, you know, you put your cell phone up to your ear and it's hot. Anything that's going to make you hot is going to suck hydration out of you. UV lights, just sheer sitting, you know, we don't move. We live in a really super dehydrating environments. And I do think that there is this sort of, the book is really about this subclinical, low-grade dehydration that I think is present in so many of us. And it's sucking the energy out of us. And this is, you know, the book is not talking about overt dehydration where you're in the hospital needing IV mm-hmm. therapy. Yeah. Yeah. You know, there's a difference. So, you know, these girls, if you're perfectly healthy and you feel fantastic and you drink a ton of water, this might not be the right book for you. But I don't think that's the case with, you know, 75% of the whole population. I think that we could do better also without having to drink more water.
Well, what are some of the things that should enable our listeners to ascertain okay. if they are underhydrated, you know, because it seems like the symptoms are legion.
Yeah. So I want to talk about thirst first.
Okay. And by the way, is thirst, because a lot of people, I think a conventional medical critique would say, hey, you know, that's not makes it a big deal about it. The body is equipped to monitor your hydration status. We're exquisitely attuned in terms of proper thirst signals. And, you know, if you're underhydrated, you're going to, you know, reach for some water.
Yeah. So, first of all, we are also equipped to ignore that thirst mechanism, which many of us do. Mm-hmm. It's not, if you're thirsty, you're already long gone. You're dehydrated. You need to drink. So I know what you're saying. The truth is that there is all this chronic illness that has no meaning, and I think hydration needs to be your first line of therapy in it, and hydrate better. And we'll talk about some of the new discoveries in a few minutes about it, and what to do about it, and what's a better way to hydrate. So thirst is the first one. It's not to me, it's not the best example, because you're already pretty dehydrated if you're thirsty, and we have our bodies have mechanisms of either ignoring it or overriding it.
Mm-hmm. And I think another, and this is a really clear phenomenon, especially in urban living, is, you know, they now have apps that tell you where the bathrooms are in Manhattan.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, I think, and especially for women, you know, going to the bathroom in a public place, in the city, and, you know, with all the commuting we do, and it's unpredictable commuting because we get stuck on the LIE for, you know, an hour and a half unexpectedly when we think we're going to breeze through in 10 minutes. And so a lot of people, I think they deliberately underhydrate.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. It's a problem. We are meant to pee every 2 or 3 hours. That's something else that we have to look at. We're meant to get up and pee and go walk to the bathroom every couple of hours.
It's paleo peeing because, you know, in paleo life, there wasn't, you know, a constraint about going off into the bushes and doing your business, right? So,
right.
You know, so it's kind of a modern accoutrement of modern life is that we really schedule our urination. You know, can we get up from our desks? Are we under surveillance by our bosses? You know, are we engrossed? I mean, actually, sometimes I get so engrossed reading articles, writing is another thing. And I suddenly go, you know something? I really need to get up.
Yeah. It's so interesting. As I was writing the book on this, I would sit for hours at a time and my co-author were like, oh my God, we have to stop. We have to get up and move. And we'd get up and jump around and, you know, make ourselves do it. Even, you know, so yeah, we live, that's part of the environment that we live in. It's part of even the, you know, people at work can't get up every couple of hours. They're not allowed to. BlackRock patients, they all come to me for some reason, all the administrative assistants.
And for listening audience, is a big, you know, investment company. I mean, it's a, what is it, private equity or venture capital? It's, think billions, think that series, you know, right, on Showtime. That's BlackRock here in New York City.
Let me tell you what they did, and I love this. They took their garbage cans away from their desks so that they would have to get up and move and throw their garbage away, you know, out of their desk.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
I loved that. Something simple like that was, I just thought it was such a wonderful thing. So we're meant to pee every couple of hours. other things to tell if you're dehydrated. So the thing that I really think for me and what clinically what I like to look for is that afternoon fatigue and brain fog. Mm-hmm. I really truly think that that is your first sign of dehydration, and it's not necessarily a blood sugar drop, which it very well may be, but I really think that water should, once again, hydration should be your first step. So fatigue, and then the other typical things are, you know, dry mouth, cracked lips, dry skin. Is your skin a good way to look at your skin is if you pinch the top of your hand, does it tent up or does it go right back down? And then you could look at the other one that is non-controversial at all is look at your urine color. Your urine should be light yellow.
Taken your B vitamins.
Exactly. You're absolutely right.
And you get like magic marker yellow, right?
Important to say. Yeah. Yeah. So those are some easy things to think about if you think you're not sure if you're dehydrated. Yeah.
Okay, folks, at this point, let's pause and allow our sponsor an opportunity to share a vital message with you. So here goes. Do you suffer with chronic pain? Are you taking risky over-the-counter or prescription anti-inflammatory drugs? Living with pain can cause depression, overeating, anxiety, loss of sleep, and low quality of life. This is Dr. Ronald Hoffman with a better natural solution from Future Farm Botanicals. Liquid Turmeric Liposome Complex. Future Farm's liquid turmeric with liposome technology delivers maximum absorption for effective pain relief. It contains powerful antioxidant properties and plant-based curcumin used to possibly reduce inflammation and block proteins that trigger swelling and intercept inflammatory pathways, significantly decreasing inflammatory responses. For more information and to order, call 888-841-7216. That's 888-841-7216. Or go to myfuturefarm.com. That's future, P-H-A-R-M, myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. Don't live with pain when there's an all-natural, science-based remedy that works without adverse side effects. Get free shipping on all of your orders at myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. Thanks for listening, and thanks for supporting our sponsors. And now back to Dr. Dana Cohen. So, you know, obviously there's many metabolic connections here. How can hydration help you lose weight? I think that's a real appeal to this paradigm.
Yeah. So there was a couple studies we cited in the book. One was a very specific study where they had them drink 8 ounces of water before every meal. And we actually recommend that in the plan. We have a 5-day optimal hydration plan in the book. And we recommend that, eight ounce glass of water before you have your meals. And they show that those people
and by
who
the way
did
that's gonna make you eat less. That's a real good strategy.
Yeah, it makes complete sense.
Satiety, yeah.
And those people lost 5 pounds more than people who didn't do that over a short period of time. Okay. So there's a couple of studies that just hydration in and of itself will help you lose weight.
So you know, this actually harkens back to a guy who I know to some degree was influential for you, who was named Dr. I forget to get the pronunciation correct. Batmanjalij. Okay. He was an Iranian guy who was imprisoned in the 1970s, apparently, or 1980s, you know, during that horrible time in Iran. And he was... They had no medical supplies. He was a physician. And under the stress of imprisonment, some of his fellow prisoners developed ulcers. And so he had no medical supplies whatsoever. But he managed to heal the ulcers of several of these patients by simply getting them to drink a lot of water. And he actually wrote a scientific paper on that. And he subsequently wrote a book in the 90s. If I remember correctly, it's Your Body's Many Cries for Water. A very dramatic title. And it was highlighting this, but I think in a way that is a little bit more, less refined and nuanced than the way you have presented it in Quench.
Yes. So, in Quench, we actually talk about, there's some new science that I'd love to just sort of throw out there right now. We all know that water exists in three forms, right? Liquid, ice, and vapor. And so recently, there is lots of talk and research that there's a new phase of water identified and published about. Specifically, I'm talking about the work of Dr. Gerald Pollack, who's out in Seattle. And so this other phase of
water. And by the way, excuse me, I looked this guy up.
Yeah.
And, you know, you'd think, well, that sounds like a really quacky thing. You know, I mean,
it's not.
It goes again. But he's a really well-respected scientist.
Yeah.
And his work is considered revolutionary and controversial, but not, you know, over the edge or out there. That there really is something to this notion that water exists in another state besides liquid, gas, and solid, you know, ice, water
vapor.
We're familiar with, and vapor.
Yeah.
So yeah, keep going on that theme.
Yeah. So fascinating. You know, so by the way, when I started researching all of this, I was blown away at how, complicated water was. Mm-hmm. I had no idea.
Yeah. H2O. It's like two hydrogens and an oxygen bound together. And, that's it.
Yes. And it's incredibly complicated. And by no means is this book the end all be all. As we were writing it, up until the day we were writing it, there were new things coming out, that we couldn't even get in the book. So it's very complicated. There's all kinds of scientists from all different modalities of science. There's, you know, molecular biology, there's chemistry, and they're all coming at it from different angles. So going back to Dr. Pollack, he discovered, you know, And I just want to say one more thing too. It was not something new that he discovered. This has been floating around for many years, that there is this other.
Excuse the pun. It's been floating around.
Yeah. This other phase of water. So, but he found a way to sort of quantify it. And he calls it easy water. Some people may know it. We call it gel water in the book. Some people may call it structured water. Mm-hmm. It's how the molecules, how these water molecules lay upon each other and what they do and how they structure, that makes it, you know, different. And there are other scientists, and we lay out a lot of those studies in the book that definitely know there's something else. May not agree with him exactly what that molecular, equation is, but they all agree that there is some other phase of water that's going on here. So we talk about this gel phase of water, and it's our belief that, you know, let's think about gel. Think about how desert plants hydrate. They hydrate via gels, mm-hmm. right? Aloe and cactus.
Aloe, for example, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. Think about chia seeds. When you put chia seeds in liquid, mm-hmm. they form this gel on them.
Mm-hmm.
That gel is what we believe to be the form of water that's inside your cells. And it also so happens to be the form of water that's inside plants.
Mm-hmm.
So we are postulating in this book that by eating your water,
mm-hmm.
is more hydrating than just drinking ever more water.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
And I think that's the real departure, which is going away from the notion of simply quaffing, lots of glasses of water. I think it's about a more comprehensive hydration strategy that is what you're getting at. Now, this brings us to a lot of claims. Now, there's a lot of water hype out there, frankly. I mean, people are turning away from soda in droves, but the soft drink industry wants to diversify, so they want to sell people products that cost money rather than have people turn on the tap. So we have structured water, we have alkaline water, we have ionized water, we have oxygenated water.
Hydrogen
water. I mean, I'm going to ask you to weigh in a little bit on these subjects, because what you're proposing in the book is not so much, you're not pitching a product, you're pitching a lifestyle, and it's certainly more economical than buying something that may have, plausible but still unproven claims.
Yeah. So it really does go beyond the scope of the book. We wrote this book for the people, literally for the people. So if you can't afford a Vitamix, we even talk about go buying a $5 blender in a thrift store to make your smoothies. You need vegetables. You need water. That's really what the book is about. As far as all these other waters, I've done a little bit of research on them, and I can't find anything. I will tell you. And all of them. I'm talking even alkaline water. The hydrogen water, I think, is something very interesting. I am still in the process of trying to understand it because I don't quite understand it. As far as I know, you put hydrogen in the air and it becomes more water because the oxygen attaches to it. So it doesn't make sense to me.
Well, that's actually, you know, if you know, when people saw the most famous video of the 1930s, which was the crash of the Hindenburg. That was hydrogen being ignited with a spark and creating water with a tremendous explosion because the oxygen in the air combined with the hydrogen in the balloon, and that's why we have helium blimps now instead of hydrogen blimps because the hydrogen blimps are going to go up like the ill-fated Hindenburg over Lyndhurst, New Jersey.
Oh, I love that. I didn't know that.
Yeah. I mean, that's an example of the power of that combination of O and H.
Yeah. Right. So I do think there's something to the hydrogen water. I'm not quite ready to talk about it. I don't quite understand it just yet. As far as alkaline water, I've searched. I don't find anything.
Just to cut you off, one of our guests recently talked about the benefits of alkaline water for GERD, for reflux. And she's a very, very well-known and innovative ear, nose, and throat doctor, Dr. Jamie Kaufman. What she said, I mean, obviously alkaline water is not that alkaline. It's maybe pH 6, you know, just slightly alkaline. But what she says is that just enough to inactivate pepsin if you drink it. And pepsin, she thinks, is the culprit in GERD. Not so much acidity, but pepsin, which is a digestive enzyme. So she believes that there's a rationale for drinking alkaline water if you have GERD. I don't believe, and she doesn't believe, that it makes you more alkaline. You know, this whole notion of alkalinizing the body. I mean, if you want, you can take some baking soda and put it into some water. And I mean, now there's some studies that suggest it may be helpful for autoimmune disease. Now some studies suggesting that it helps the efficacy of chemotherapy even to do that. But, you know.
Well, I think, you know, what I would say is that empirically and, you know, clinically, my patients do tell me that they think they feel better when they drink, you know, if they're constantly drinking alkaline water or some of these other waters. But, you know, so I hear it from my patients. I don't have any great background on it.
And you're a scientist. And I think that that's really the nice element to this book is that it's written by a well-trained medical doctor who brings to it an innovative spirit, but also a bit of a skeptical mind when it comes to outlandish claims. So, you know.
Yeah. Well, besides, I think what better alkaline water can you do than a green smoothie?
There you go. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, so, and we talk a lot about that in the book. So I want to just talk a little bit about the difference between smoothies and juices.
Sure.
And so we do define that in the book, and smoothies are basically macerated or blended, you know, vegetables versus juicing, which is you know your extraction of juices. You're leaving out all the fiber, and I think the fiber is really important in hydration. Juices are good in some people and many people. Smoothies are better, and smoothies doesn't. A lot of people think, oh, smoothies have to include yogurt, you know, or ice cream or something. Yeah, that's not what we're talking about.
Yeah. Exactly. So. All right, great. This is good groundwork for some of the topics we're going to touch upon in part two. This episode's all about hydration, and there's a new book, and I recommend it very highly. It's very readable. It's called Quench by today's guest. Quench, beat fatigue, drop weight, and heal your body through the new science of optimal hydration. Dana Cohen, co-author along with anthropologist Gina Bria. By the way, Gina has contributed a lot in terms of some of the anthropological evidence for how various cultures handle the issue of hydration, including people who inhabit desert areas. It's really quite interesting.
Yeah.
When we return, we're going to talk about water softeners, water filters, the effects of certain medications on hydration, We'll also roll out the 5-day quench plan. That's part and parcel of this program to restore optimal hydration. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.